This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. The heat wave is still affecting tens of millions of Americans. It has sparked fears of wildfires. The Newell Road fire is now threatening homes in Klickitat County in Washington State. Alan Lebovitz is with the state's Department of Natural Resources.
That's a firefighter's worst nightmare because the humidity is dropping precipitously, the winds are picking up, and so the fire carries extremely fast, and the fuels that it does encounter are very receptive.
UPS and the Teamsters Union have resumed talks as a strike deadline nears. A work stoppage could begin August 1st. KPIX-TV reporter John Ramos from San Francisco.
The Democratic Socialists of America, who sponsored the rally, are strong supporters of workers' rights.
This fight will have like shockwaves for the whole labor community.
Right now, the biggest issue is a pay increase for part-time drivers. The Teamsters are demanding a living wage. The company says it has nothing more to give.
The actors' union strike is in its second week. The main issues are wages and the use of AI. Entertainment attorney Jonathan Handel.
Labor has been burned in the past by language that didn't evolve with technology.
There are more protests in Israel this weekend over the government's judicial reform plan. The first legislator vote is tomorrow. This man demonstrated in Jerusalem.
I came here to protest against the dictatorship that's becoming of my country.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in the hospital after getting a pacemaker, but says he'll be ready for the vote. A Virginia group is saving horses from slaughter. CBS's Gloria Chapa reports.
Happy horses being released into green pastures. It helps keep Colby's Crew Rescue Executive Director Allison Smith going. The Virginia Rescue buys horses from the direct ship kill pens before they head for slaughter.
99.9% are ex-Amish horses. Whether they were a buggy horse, which is usually a standardbred, or a workhorse, which is the bigger, heavier Belgians or Percherons.
This year, Colby's crew was finally able to empty the facility five times now. Smith says they're going back in August for number six.
The Biden administration is fighting junk fees.
Consumers are encountering surprise charges or junk fees. Bankrate analyst Ted Rossman says the government thinks the fees are out of whack.
Disproportionate to the value received.
Consumer junk fees may one day be eliminated, but Rossman expects them to just reappear elsewhere.
I'm not sure that these fees will actually come down. They might just be framed differently. Then it gets kind of hidden.
CBS's Stephen Kaufman reporting. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Scientists say climate change is making tornadoes stronger and more frequent. Tornadoes are also posing a bigger threat to more people. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more in this climate conversation.
As the Earth's temperatures climb, so does the threat of extreme weather events such as drought, wildfire, hurricanes, and tornadoes, all of which are now occurring more frequently and at higher strengths. Atmospheric scientist Walker Ashley says, while such events have occurred in the past, the evidence points to climate change contributing to the frequency and magnitude, especially when it comes to tornado behavior. The fundamental ingredients needed to fuel these disasters are becoming more and more available. With more moisture, atmospheric instability, and wind shear, this is not only leading to more tornadoes, but also more hailstorms. Ashley said these ingredients are now spanning over a larger area too, expanding the bullseye effect into major cities. As the populations grow, the chances of the needle-in-a-haystack tornado hitting a city becomes greater than it used to be. Just last week, the Chicago area scrambled when 11 tornadoes tore through the burbs. The National Weather Service also confirmed a tornado touchdown near O'Hare International Airport, located less than 20 miles from the heart of Chicago. The American Meteorological Society expects that with the changing climate, tornado season will escalate outside of the traditional peak times, which is typically March through May. This year, Wisconsin has had 18 confirmed tornadoes touch down, causing $5,150,000 in property damage so far. And last year, tornadoes began spinning up in early March, lasting through mid-October, with seven touchdowns occurring in a single fall day. And in 2021, 13 tornadoes struck in December, well outside of the season. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
This time of year, the world's busiest airport is Oshkosh. During the Experimental Aircraft Association, EAA Air Venture. 10,000 airplanes fly in, typically 600,000 people visit, spending $170 million. Big numbers worth celebrating considering EAA started in a Milwaukee basement with a little more than 100 people 70 years ago. EAA runs through July 30th. Keep an eye to the sky if you're in the Oshkosh area. Daily air shows start at 2:30. I'm Terry Barr.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Busted's fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, welcome back. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number, if you want to jump in, 844-967-2789. I haven't even given you anything to call about yet, but phones are open, 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend?
Good, good, Tim. It's a good day. Another summer day for you know, educators already starting to look forward to fall. talking to other teachers, we're feeling ready for it. The PD has already started to roll in and the schedules are coming out. So the
professional development that no teacher ever wanted but had to go to. That's not the kind of PD you and I advocate for. Johnny, great guest tonight, though. You know, we've done a deep dive, you know, the past few weeks. Last week we had, you know, Ask Ethan to talk about gender. But this week, you know, we're coming back. We've been covering student loan from every aspect, you know, studentloanjustice.org. You know, Lisa Ansel coming in talking about student loan, the public service forgiveness, you know, and just coming through this. And we kept having, you know, when I would put out on social media, I kept getting into this conversation with others, let's call them others, when I would talk about, you know, let's just cancel student loans, because from everything I'm hearing from the experts, that's what we need to do. And I kept getting smacked, I guess if you can get smacked online, by saying, dude, I'm not going to pay for your student loan bailout. My tax dollars are not for your, is not for your bad behavior by taking out student loans. My tax dollars are not going to go to bail you out. I was like, well, I keep hearing that it's not all taxpayers, and I kind of get it, but it was like thinking, we need to know more about this. Welcome from realprogressives.org, Stephen T. D. Grumbine. Stephen, you are going to, now, is it Stephen or Steve?
You can call me either one. It's fine. I'm good. I answer both.
All right. Okay. We'll keep it. But Steve, you are kind of an expert in this area, because when people say, dude, you got to use my tax dollars to bail it out, and I come back and say, no, it won't cost you anything as a taxpayer. You're coming from the realprogressives.org and this modern monetary theory, a real economic situation where you were saying, no, it's not a hypothetical, it's reality. Steve, give us a quick, what is modern monetary theory? And then we'll get into taxes and student loans and stuff, but just a quick primer on modern monetary theory, right?
Yeah.
MMT.
Yeah, MMT for short. Yeah, all absolutely. Right. Well, first of all, let me thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate this. This is a super important topic, both the MMT side and the student loan side. So it's absolutely my mission to do as many of these type of shows as I can. So thank you so much for having me come on. That said, MMT is really largely a description of how a fiat currency works, how a a system like one that the United States has, or the UK or Canada or China or Russia or Australia even have, and many other countries have. In general, this is simply the way a currency works. And, you know, for a guy like myself, and I know we may touch on this later, but I think it's important for folks to understand that here I am, I'm getting ready to advocate not only for a monetary concept that many people out there will find mind-blowing, but I'm also a former Republican, and now I would say I'm a fairly far the opposite side of that leftist, and I would credit almost all of that to understanding that that concept of the taxpayer myth is exactly that. It's a myth. Mm-hmm. And it was a myth that was created to connotate ownership of, you know, the commons. It was meant to elevate landowners. It was meant way back in the day. It was meant to elevate the ownership class, the elites, the people that owned slaves, the people that called blacks 3/5 of a human being inside of the Constitution and so forth. So I think it's important to understand that, you know, throughout history, all the laws, all the things that we come to know and love about our great country have come from slave owners, have come from people that wanted to maintain a property class at the top and everyone else at the bottom. That said, I had to understand how money worked because I went to school, I got an MBA, I got a Master of Science in Technology Management, and both of these degree programs told me that taxes funded spending. They told me that governments borrow money from banks and that bonds finance the government. And without, if people lose faith in the bonds, they won't buy them and the government will go bankrupt and it'll be Weimar. And I mean, I had every one of these things. I used to talk about the Rothschilds and how the private Federal Reserve was owned by the Jews and all these other myths that are rampant. You don't even realize how ingrained they are in most people's psyche. But ultimately, I find out almost every bit of it is either wrong or intentionally misguided or intentionally misleading. And so what MMT does is it describes the way money comes to be, and it describes what money is, or currency in this case. And governments create what they call a unit of account to provision themselves so that they can do things. The U.S. dollar didn't exist before the U.S. existed. It was created as a creature of law. So the U.S. dollar was born into existence. And the government has special abilities. It can tell, you know, Boeing, or it can tell Halliburton, we want you to do great things for the war machine. It can tell folks like BlackRock, hey, here's a subsidy, go buy up all the properties. Or we could say, hey, we're going to send money to Ukraine for XYZ. And nobody bats an eye about it. They don't even think about it. It's just like, oh, the debt's going up. But the minute you start asking someone how we're going to pay for healthcare, how we're going to pay for college, free college, all these things, they immediately say my hard-earned tax dollar.
Right.
And so MMT disabuses us of that. It shows that the government creates currency every time it spends, every time it authorizes spending through Article 1, Section 8 of your U.S. Constitution. Folks learn that ultimately the government created the money. It's a law. It's an inch. It's a pound. It's nothing physical. It's not that piece of paper. It's the unit of measure. And the government, in order to get you to take its currency to do something for it, had to issue a tax. It's the tax that forces you to need the currency, because you can only pay your tax in the currency. Interesting. It creates the currency and then forces you to give it back to them. And then what does it do? It deletes it. It purges it. It burns it. Back in the day when we used like tobacco in colonial times, and it was pieces of paper that they would mark up and they would burn them, or they were tally sticks and they'd shred them and burn them. Now they simply delete them with a delete key on a keyboard. So it was a lot to swallow that the dollar was not the piece of paper in my hand, but that was merely a representation of the dollar. It's like if you have a ruler, the inch.
I was going to say, yeah, I was doing some of the reading, you know, for some of the stuff out there. And that to me was one of, you know, the ways that it helped me understand this a little bit more when you describe it as a unit of measure. And the fact is that an inch exists regardless of if you have a ruler or not.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. You can never run out of them either, can you?
Yeah. And then there's inches all over the place. Okay.
Hyperinflation of inches.
Okay.
Just imagine right?
Right. Oh my God. I've never seen the hyperinflation of inches. Keep that sideways or not go sideways with that. But, you know, so Steve, you know, but somebody else, though, I think is they're hearing this and then going, yeah, but you know, what about like what I learned in school about trade? You made a comment about, you know, tobacco and stuff like that. I mean, early trade, it wasn't conceptual, right? It was people giving people something for something. I mean, there was an exchange of assets, should I say, or is even that concept a little bit murky?
The myth of barter, read David Graeber. You'll find out the whole barter thing is a stuff that people made up. It's not real. There's no basis in anything, really. They've always had credit, whether it be writing it down on a piece of paper or something. There's always been credit. It's never been barter in this sense. And so, you know, going back, I mean, Steve Keen talks about Warren I remember at one of the MMT conferences years ago, Warren Mosler going toe to toe with one of the big dog economists. I'll save his name for another time, but they were going toe to toe. And this guy brought up the whole concept of myth of barter, and Mosler pounded him, just crushed him. And Mosler is the father of modern monetary theory, for those of you who want to do a quick search. But in the spirit of getting to the nut here on this particular subject, ultimately, the government spends money into existence and it taxes it out of existence. The reason why you accept the money the government gives you is because you must pay your taxes in it. So one of the things that was really challenging for me to understand was the coercive nature of the tax. Tax is not for funding. It's not has nothing to do with funding. It just has to be sufficient to make you require the currency. And nothing more. And so within that space, you start to think, well, the government, the federal government, if it is the creator of the currency, it can't go broke. It can buy anything available for sale that can be purchased with its currency. And that would include student debt. That would include free college for all. That would include a lot of things. And when you start putting that into perspective, it really, really starts changing all the narratives you hear on television, changing all the narratives you hear amongst your friends at the bar stool. And really, quite frankly, there's a lot of synapses in our own brains that have to rewire once we recognize this is how it really is.
Well, I'm just thinking about that. Yeah, the rewiring that has to go into that. Yeah. You know, Steve, you're saying, you know, coming from, you know, a pretty right conservative Republican to what you say now, you know, and maybe going left and right is not this, you know, I think you would probably say yourself as you're more of a realist today than you ever were, because you're like, I have this concept now. And once I understand it, it's like left, right, liberal bias, all that stuff. It's just like, it starts to disappear. We are talking to Steve Grumbine. He is with, or the founder of realprogressives.org. We're talking modern monetary theory, student loans. We're going to come back, though, and Steve, we're going to answer that question. If my loans are forgiven, why does my neighbor not have to pay extra taxes? Busted pencils, fully leaded, 844-967-2789. Call us when we get back.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8
on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done,
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
7 degrees.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
We are back Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. Our guest, Steve Grumbine, realprogressives.org. We're talking modern monetary theory, but we're looping it now back to student loans. And I had put out on Twitter last week, Steve, I said, you know, to try to make this concept of, quote, you know, my taxes and my taxes aren't going to pay for it or whatever. So my neighbor gets it. So, or maybe it's like this. I walked over to my next door neighbor's door and I knocked on it and I said, yo, neighbor, PPP loans were canceled. Yes or no? And he said, yeah, they were canceled. And I went, and did you pay extra taxes for those to get canceled? And he looked at me like, wait, I don't know. And then I said, well, if you don't know, then why do you assume you know that if student loans are canceled, that those are going to come out of your taxes? Because was I helping my neighbor out, Steve?
You know, I think you were. Okay. You know, you think about this. This is probably a concept that most people will struggle with. It took me a little bit to get this, but the government only spends a dollar one time. It never spends it twice. It only spends it once. And that's when it births it into existence. When it comes back home, it's deleted. It's destroyed, right? It's done its job, done its stuff in the economy. So when the government gave those PPP loans, it spent it once. When it forgave it, what tax dollar was required? It just said, we're not asking for it back. We don't need it. And so in the end, it didn't cost anybody anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about the way it is with student debt. I want to take this back. Pretend like the government itself wasn't the one that paid for these loans for a minute. Pretend like it wasn't the government. Pretend like it was a private bank, right? So we can put this into context of the car we talked about offline momentarily as well, right? When I get a loan for a vehicle, a bank will give the car company the full asking price of the vehicle to pay them the money. The money's already spent, doesn't matter. The bank, however, will take back the money, the principal plus interest.
Mm-hmm.
They don't keep the principal. The principal is deleted because banks would be counterfeiting if they were printing money like that and it could just live in perpetuity. The only thing the bank gets to keep is the interest, okay? So flash forward to student debt. Government was the one that spent that money into existence. They spent the principal into existence, gave it to the college or university. University's paid for. You didn't steal from the university. University's already received their payment in full. The only thing is government said, hey, we're a great job creator. Let's create these loan servicing companies that they get to skim the interest off or a certain fee off the top of every student loan. And that's how they survive and thrive. So one might say that by not paying back your student loan, you're depriving the predatory student loan collection industry of its nut. So poor them, I cry me a river, old man river kind of thing. So I ain't sweating the loan servicing companies at all, zero, right? But the government's already spent that principle into existence. And just like the PPP loan, and quite frankly, just like the vehicle loan, okay, the bank didn't get to keep that principle. The government doesn't ever have money. The government money lives outside the government because the government creates it, has no need for it other than to get us to need it to do things for it. So in the case of student debt, literally, there is no payback. It's done. It's wiped out. The only issue is whether there's contract law out there that says that Nelnet and all these other servicing companies get a certain, they're entitled to some contractual thing. Then the government might pay them, but that's still not out of your pocket. Where'd it come from? It came from the government. They spent it into existence and paid them off. No big deal.
On the interest thing though, too, and Johnny, I'm sorry, I'm not letting you jump in here yet.
I'm taking it in. I'm fascinated by this topic, and it comes up so often when we're having the discussion around student loan repayments. So this is really enlightening.
Well, because you talk about the interest, and I think that is a concept where people get that, and you say, okay, you know, I took out $10,000, you know, 5% interest over 5 years, I'm going to pay back my principal, the amount I took out, and then some. And the and then some is the, quote, profit that the person who supposedly gave me that money then. And you're saying, so the reality is that, yeah, the interest, they do collect that interest. That made me think then, too, when I hear some of the other student loan cancellation forgiveness advocates out there talking about going, and the reality is that the government has collected billions of dollars in interest in addition to the loans then that they gave out, Steve, what you were saying. So they've been making money all along. And the fact that they're going to lose any money, that's a myth too. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. So think about this. Social Security. You don't ever go into some old piggy bank and reach in and get a hay penny from 1919. It's all new money, no matter what. My hard-earned Social Security, the same thing. Nothing. It's not true. When it comes to the interest that we pay on student debt, that money is what is used to pay the servicing companies. Mm-hmm. And the government, when it gets it back, just like Social Security, just like any other tax, it deletes it. It has no use for it. It's gone. The government will create new money when it wants to do something else. It never prints money. It only spends money into existence. So if it doesn't have a bill directly to tell it to do something, it doesn't just print plates of money.
Okay. So now, okay, it's starting to come together now because I'm imagining my new trip to my neighbor, the new tweet I'm going to put out, the new thread if I ever figure out how to make threads work. To talk about the fact is that your tax dollars, those of you out there that are worried about student loan cancellation and your taxes going up, okay, you heard it here tonight on Busted Pencils from Steve Grumbine. No, your taxes have nothing to do with canceling student loan debt. My question then too is if people get that, could we move this conversation forward and start saying, so let's do the cancellation. The number is 844-967-2789. When we get back, more Busted Pencils back.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. High heat is affecting firefighters battling a blaze in Klickitat County in Washington State. Alan Lebovitz is with the state's Department of Natural Resources.
It's very challenging to work under those conditions.
UPS and the Teamsters Union have resumed talks as a strike deadline looms. KPIX-TV reporter John Ramos from San Francisco.
The deadline is August 1st. After that, if there is no agreement, the Teamsters say they will bring a halt to delivery of nearly one quarter of the nation's commercial goods.
A Virginia group is working to save horses from slaughter. Allison Smith is the executive director of Colby's Crew Rescue.
We are aiming to save horses from the slaughter pipeline, rehabilitate them, whether it's physically or mentally, and then either retire them at our sanctuary or adopt them out into their forever home.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench, in so holding the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says we're good. It doesn't.
We're good. You can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course, let's say logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow. A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
93.5, The Tap.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Media network of local radio stations.
Seems every station on the TV is selling something no one can be.
That's not what we do here every Tuesday night. We are everything you always wanted to be. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. Our guest, Steve Grumbine, founder of realprogressives.org. We were talking modern monetary theory, student loans, my neighbor who's absolutely yelling at me that he's not going to pay extra taxes for my loans to be canceled. We got through there. We kind of explained how that's, well, yeah, dude, relax. You are not going to pay for my student loan cancellation. No one is. And in fact, the beauty of that is the reality. And I hear this now kind of coming through is that, and Johnny, maybe you can help and then bring this in, but I get a sense of saying like doing this is a freedom, is a nonpartisan issue. frame that up a little bit better for me, Johnny.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hear what Steve's sharing here, and, you know, and I think it's important because so often when we're discussing the student loan forgiveness or repayment or, you know, all of the kind of topics that have come up, you know, some of the pushback against it has been, you know, that it falls then on the burden of the taxpayers or on the people who either already paid back their loans in full or who chose not to take out those loans or were able to not take out those loans. So kind of this argument against individual responsibility versus sort of collective strength in the economy. And one of the things that, you know, stands out to me in that is not only is Steve explaining to us how that's a myth, right? That this costs our neighbor money, it comes at the expense of those who didn't borrow. But now, you know, we think about this and really we've talked about this in a few other shows, Tim, is that these are issues. When we talk education, although we land ourselves oftentimes aligned with the Democratic Party, and, you know, can be classified as, you know, liberal or radical even in our own politics, these are nonpartisan issues. These are sort of common good, if we can borrow a term from sort of like, you know, the politics of things. These are things that we should be able to work across the proverbial aisle, sort of land on, you know, supporting our veterans, supporting education, supporting healthcare. These are things that should just be basic human rights. And we can sort of have our differences and sort of our political parties. But if there ever was a middle or a sort of nonpartisan issue, one of them to me is our economy and is, you know, the strength of our democracy via education and healthcare. These are the three kinds of big, big, big middle grounds for me. And so, Steve, you know, you touched on that. You were like, well, I was on the, you know, conservative end, especially as an economist and, you know, as a political thinker. And then, you know, then you sort of shifted and, you know, so you have perspective from all angles on this. Help maybe our listeners and even ourselves, Tim and I, think through this, like how, when I say something like this ought to be a nonpartisan issue, and really both political parties are getting it wrong. Right. Yeah. So I'm putting my Democrat, you know, community out there on blast because they're getting it completely wrong. Yeah. But, you know, shine some light on that, Steve. How is this like one of the nonpartisan issues that we should all be really focused on as members of the community?
Yeah, well, you just went through the debt ceiling discussion, and that in and of itself was just the joke of all jokes. I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, but it all starts there, right? These political volleyballs that each group finds political advantage for whatever they're fighting for. But in reality, the national debt is nothing more than the sum total, get this, of every untaxed dollar in the economy, right? So if you understand the national debt doesn't have to be paid back, it's not some thing that we have to, you know, burden our grandchildren with. I mean, you know, all these talking points that we've seen the Democrats and Republicans fighting tooth and nail over, and people, very serious people, get wrapped around the axle of these silly conversations. And they are silly. They're really silly, especially when you understand how it really works. And Democrats are actually in some ways worse than Republicans on economics because they believe that they are actually being the adults in the room by reducing the deficit, by lowering the debt, by raising taxes. They really genuinely believe them to be the heralded saints coming in to save the day and clean up the Republican poo-poo. But I mean, some of the myths that Democrats say, like the Republicans raided the Social Security Excel spreadsheet, I mean, trust fund, things like that. It's just, it's almost impossible to not want to take these two groups and just clunk them in the head and say, guys, wake up, you know, wake up, Peter Pan, Count Chocula. It's time to stop thinking about the coal, the lump of coal in your stocking. That's the same kind of mythology that these things are all about. So coming from the right, this is important. I had to understand the nature of money. I had to understand this because I had an MBA, for goodness sakes. I've been trained classically in all this stuff. And I had to unlearn $122,000 worth of student debt, okay, to get to the other side of it. And when I got to the other side of it, there is nothing less partisan than modern monetary theory. The issue is, what are the priorities? It's real resources. Do we have the real resources available for purchase? Could we raise Social Security up? Do we have the available real resources? Do we have the production? If we give Medicare for all, do we have enough doctors? Do we have enough hospitals? Do we have enough things? These are things that if you think about it, you sit in a boardroom, you sit in a meeting, project meeting with a bunch of Republicans 9 times out of 10 in the office space. And they're like very seriously looking at the, how can we make this work? Hey, when you understand how it works, you can make it work. The problem is, can we get people to pull away from the political parties? Because the parties aren't doing this because they're just stupid. They're using it as a political volleyball for gain, for you know, what's that old saying? It's like von Clausewitz, war is policy by other means. Well, this is the same type of thing. They're using the lie of the taxpayer myth, the deficit myth, the national debt myth, the Peterson Foundation, and all these other groups. If you learn that this is bullshit, you know, just nonsense, right? Then all of a sudden you can have a real conversation with each other. Now we can talk about what really what priorities we need. And, you know, being a former Republican, I know a lot of what they care about is fairness. I worked hard. Why should you get over on my hard work? And once you understand the money doesn't come from your tax dollars, that conversation changes. I oftentimes use the slavery deal. Hey, you know what? I spent my whole life as a slave. Why the heck should we free the slaves when I've spent my whole life being a slave? Shouldn't you have to be your whole life? My goodness, that's the kind of insanity that pervades. We shouldn't let people across the border because they're taking all of our jobs. They're taking our women. They're doing this. Oh, it's awful. It's bedlam, right? These are all myths that start from the false scarcity of money narrative, the false scarcity that you're going to take something of mine. I have to hide it. I have to hoard it. I've got to protect it, my private property. And so once you unwedge and unlodge that myth, you can start looking at people's hearts. You can start seeing what matters to them. And you'd be surprised that Republicans love their children too. And you'd be surprised that Democrats love their children too, for the other side. Now all of a sudden, you know, we're having a different conversation. At least you hope we are, right? So I think it's important. I think it's a very important wake-up call for everyone to realize that we can have nice things.
My heart, Steve, and you're talking about my heart. That's the part there where I just feel it's just like, but even that has in some ways said it's like, you know, I'm not allowed to have heart. I'm not allowed to have compassion. I'm not allowed to have empathy. But even that is kind of coming around the idea of saying the reason you're not allowed to have that is because, to me, what I was hearing you say is because you believe in the myth of scarcity.
Yes.
And so if you believe in scarcity, then you really do have a sense of saying there's not enough. You know, there's not enough. And I'm glad I got enough for myself right now, but goodness, I got to make sure that I preserve enough for myself. And that, you know, so there I started thinking about that, you know, back to the econ class, you know, we talk about, you know, what creates value? Scarcity, right? And if scarcity, and this is the part too, for me, maybe I'll get more philosophical on this, but come on, if education, food, healthcare, retirement, if we create scarcities out of those things, the reality is that we're kind of practicing a bit of inhumanity by creating scarcity out of human needs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right? I mean, just Johnny, I mean, this is what's popping in my head. And so, you know, back to what we do, everything, you know, it's like the whole idea, we can't afford good schools. What do you mean? Well, if we took away the afford good schools because we're worried, you know, well, heck, if they have a good school, I'll obviously lose something if they get a good school. If that argument's gone, that I'm going to lose if they gain.
Yep.
Then the idea of education in the public sphere in the commons is that we have the mandate from an authority above us or below us, wherever you want to say, but a mandate to meet our needs of our fellow human beings. And therefore, when we're meeting the needs, we are then practicing something that is just remarkably beautiful. All of a sudden, canceling student loan debt, of course, because when we cancel, you know, Steve, you made a talk, you know, if we cancel that student loan debt, you have that much more now to give back to all of us. You're already giving back a ton on the show and all you're doing with realprogressives.org and all of them on. But the idea that this sets people, and I've been using this term, it sets us free to do the work that humanity requires of us.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and I just sit there and think that. So educators, people who love education, our listeners who are traditional, you know we have a lot of school teachers out there. And you think about this, you know, we know you got into this role not to necessarily raise academic achievement scores, but to make the world a better place. This is what we're talking about here. There are ways to talk about helping students understand economy, scarcity, and then the idea of human needs and wants and things like that. The fact that we've said basic human needs are scarce, my goodness, we've created an economy around suffering. That's where I kind of feel that. Steve, this is what you're moving me into here. We got two more minutes before we're going to say. Well, I do want to say, though, Steve, this is great. Steve Grumbine, realprogressives.org, modern monetary theory. My neighbor is not going to pay extra taxes for my student loan forgiveness. Steve, you get the last minute there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to learn about this stuff, I mean, there's a lot of great people. Stephanie Kelton has written a wonderful book called The Deficit Myth. Go read it. It's an easy read. If you like listening to podcasts, there's a bunch of them out there, but I'll plug my own. We do a show every Saturday. It comes out called Macro and the letter N and Cheese. And we talk to the experts. We talk to people about these things. And I get into the dark spots where people don't like to talk in there. I also do a show Monday, Wednesday, Friday on our other sister channel. It's a 501c4 called Real Progress in Action. And my show is called The Rogue Scholar, and I talk about this stuff all the time, but I think if you want to put the final exclamation point on this, okay, the fact of the matter is that currency is temporary. It comes and goes. It's spent into existence. It's deleted out of existence. We are taxed because the government needs us to need its currency. And it's that simple. And the national debt is nothing more than the sum total of every untaxed dollar in the economy. Folks, we can do this.
We can do this. Steve Grumbine, realprogressives.org. Busted pencils, fully leaded if you want to touch in with Johnny and me. So we finish it up, 844-967-2789. Busted pencils, more when we get back.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
degrees.
This summer, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Cruz. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes made of ticky-tacky. Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one. And a blue one and a yellow one. They're all made out of ticky-tacky. And they all look just the same.
And the people in the houses.
We know you're talking to you guys, people in houses, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Oh, everybody loves the bumper music, the intros and outros for this show. Rise Against, Anti-Flag, always out there just dropping it, making sure that everybody understands where we are, where we're coming from. Johnny, great conversation. We just
Your head is out, man. Steve knows his stuff and he helps make it make sense, but it's still like, you know, it's a lot of thinking about this whole like modern money,
right?
Like all the different things. But the big takeaways are, you know, it's refreshing to hear an economist, somebody who speaks on, you know, with some knowledge and authority of perspectives from, you know, both sides, both the conservative perspective and this proverbial idea, like a liberal perspective here, you know, that he just kind of debunks the myth that we can't solve this, you know, this debt idea, that we can just do better with our economics. And I like hearing that, man. It makes me excited to continue to have conversations that explore creative ways that we address not only student loan debt, but we really address, you know, how we take care of one another in this country, right? That's like fundamentally what it comes down to. And so I love hearing about that because I do really believe if we can be in any way a catalyst for that conversation, that's what, when we're talking to teachers and to, you know, people studying to become teachers, we're talking to school leaders, we're talking to, you know,
parents
and families talking about education in their community. One of the core, you know, goals I think all of us have in our schools is that young people learn not only that it's important to care for themselves and each other, right? But they learn how to do that.
Mm.
And I think that's the sort of the two prong approach that oftentimes we're only getting one prong of. We're hearing that it's important to learn that it's important to care about yourself and others, but we're not always practicing how. And I think that's sometimes how we get to where we're at, where we are in these stalemates with our neighbor about, you know, something as you know, ridiculous as student loan debt being where it is in this country.
It just, you know, it made me think more too, come back on my mic there, to really, as teachers, you know, this idea and the way I was framing it there was with Steve, you know, basic human needs and wants, you know, you go back when you're learning, right? You're first learning to be an educator, right? We learn about Maslow's hierarchy, right? Hierarchy of needs. And we start out by working with, you know, young people who are thinking about being teachers, of recognizing that, you know, food, safety, those quote basic human needs, you can't teach, you can't help students learn, you can't create that sense of being able to do more than just survive unless those needs are met. And so often we keep hearing through these discussions that it costs money for needs to be met, you know, and I, maybe that's, you know, I know somebody's out there going, you're darn right it does. Okay. But let's still though go, wait a minute though, as educators, if there's a way to be thinking about money, economics in a way that says, you know what, when it comes to needs, healthcare, food, safe schools, the right equipment in schools, the things that we need, teachers, the adequate pay that's there. you start to, you know, when everything's not, as we said, scarcity, then you start being able to have a conversation about, well, what do we want? And let's say beyond what we want. And the reason we want it, because I know somebody's like, well, you can't get what you want. We want the needs of our children, of our families, of our communities, the needs to be taken care of as a society. That is our goal. That's not partisan. And so all of the legislation too coming out about, you know, teachers, you know, indoctrinating and things like that, it's like, okay, wait a minute. Even some of that is drawn from this idea of scarcity of, you know, you can't go there. We can't talk about that. Well, you know what? We can talk about that. And I want to bring that back because that is one of those motivating things about being an educator, is stepping into a place where you believe you have the ability to dig deep and help people become better. Well, that gets really hard to do year in, year in, and year out when your kids are hungry, when they're sick, when you don't have the healthcare that you need as a provider for your family, when all of those things are a struggle. Man, no wonder we have, on top of all the other reasons, no wonder there's a shortage of people wanting to be a teacher. It almost becomes impossible. We have a possibility here now to say, okay, you know what? Needs aren't to meet people's needs. We don't have a scarcity issue anymore. Scarcity, yeah. When it comes to needs, throw scarcity out the window because needs are what they say they are, their needs. I don't know. I went on a tangent there, Johnny.
I mean, it does come back around to it. And, you know, it brings us to this, to broadening the discussion of why we're so adamant about, you know, unpacking the myths around student loan repayment, because, you know, it is becoming, we had the show a couple of weeks ago, where it was, you know, we discussed the mental health aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a few times now guests on who spoke to the economic ways, like the economic burden, but also just not even individual economic burden, even though, Tim, like, my heart is with you on this. I believe we're only as strong individually as our collective community is, you know, but even if I'm really an individualist where I'm thinking about my own benefit in this, disconnected from that of my community, we like the economic stimulus that eliminating this debt puts immediately into our economy benefits us. So even if I'm really instrumentalist about this and I'm like, what is the ends to the means on this? It's for sure that, you know, this extends to the health of our economy and to our general physical and mental well-being.
That's it. Busted Pencils, fully lighted education talk. I think we're going to go on the music here. I'm going to work with it, Anya. We will see you all next week.
Look forward to it. Podcasts and
more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart to heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5.